Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Let us hear this word of the Lord. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Le'Veon Bell. How many of you know who Le'Veon... No, wait. How many of you don't know who Le'Veon Bell is? Oh, did she set you straight there, Mike? Did she? Okay. Yeah. Yep, Le'Veon Bell, star running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe one of the best running backs in the league. Certainly a lot of us think so. So do the sportscasters. Le'Veon Bell has a unique running style. Something new. And believe it or not, all these years that football's been around, he has a new running style that now is being talked about by NFL coaches, college coaches, and high school coaches. Le'Veon Bell, he'll come out of the backfield, take the football, he'll run up to the line, and he'll wait. Yeah, he'll actually sometimes stop running, or he'll slow down real slow. And he waits for the linemen to do their job, to open up an opening, and then he bursts through with all this speed, and he jumps sideways, and he seems to be running slow sometimes, but he keeps picking his way forward in between people. And they have a hard time bringing him down. And so he's got more yardage than I think any other running back, or he's second or third, but he's just amazing. Big reason why we've gotten as far as we did. A reporter interviewed him 2 weeks ago, and they said, "You know, it's pretty amazing. You've become quite the star. Everybody's talking about you and your style of running." He said, "How do you do it?" And he says, "Well, it's not me." He says, "It's my linemen." He said, "This is a team effort." He said, "If it weren't for those guys," he said, "there would be no openings. I wouldn't be able to do what I do." He says, "But, you know, I give them all the credit." And that's truly what it's all about. And what do we call that when everybody works together? It's called teamwork. Teamwork, absolutely. Today's Bible passage about Jesus calling his disciples two by two, even gathering together around him a team of people, 12 disciples. Each of them had their own special gifts and talents, and together they would work on achieving their goal of pleasing their leader, Jesus. Did they make mistakes? Sure they did. Sure, they stepped on each other's toes. They said and did things. Peter, my goodness. We all make mistakes, don't we? We're part of this team here called Irwin First United Methodist Church. We make mistakes. We don't do everything right. You know, we step on each other's toes. But the neat thing about being a member of a Christian team is that we have forgiveness. You know, the success of the team is what really matters. is that we succeed as a church in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us, not just spreading the gospel here in this room, but spreading the gospel outside of these walls. That's our goal. And that's what's important for us to do. And we work at how we do that. And sometimes we don't do things right. Sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. That's part of being family. But because we're Christian and because we've been forgiven by God, we forgive one another. We forgive one another. See, we're all part of the same team here. We're all members of this Irwin First United Methodist Church, officially and unofficially. We're all members. And our goal is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in order to spread the gospel message in word and deed to transform the world for Jesus. That's our goal as a church. It's why we work together. It's why we spend long hours and we make sacrifices and give of our tithes and our offerings and we use our talents and we call up and encourage one another, and why we pray is because our goal is to make disciples of Jesus Christ in order to spread the gospel message in word and deed to transform the world for Jesus. So when you and I work together to achieve that goal, what do we call that? We call it teamwork. Teamwork here. How many people have been part of some type of sport team? Oh, we've got some athletes here. Okay. How many people here that used to be part of a sport team are now out of shape? How many of you have ever been part of a work team? Okay. How about part of a musical team? Okay. How many of you have been part of a drama team? How about part of a worship team? Ushering team. Okay. You can see where I'm going with this. We've all been part of a team one way or another. How many of you here refuse to answer, put your hand up no matter what I ask you? We're team players. At least we're supposed to be team players. Understand this. It's not a choice. The Bible says we are team players. We're not individuals doing whatever we feel like doing, and it just happens we feel like coming to this place. But the Bible says we are team players. It is a biblical principle. We are called to be a part of the community of faith, Jesus' team of disciples, and Jesus is the head of this team. See, God blesses us with certain gifts, abilities, and talents, even experiences. God has allowed us to go through certain things for the benefit of others. It's not about us. Like Le'Veon Bell, we are not gifted for our glory, but we are gifted for the glory of the team. And Jesus is the head. It's not about you or me. You know, like, I really desire to be a good pastor. I desire to be a really good pastor. But I don't have gifts in everything. I can't do everything. You know, like, finances is not my thing. But I rely on the people who have those smarts. And I do what I can based on experiences I've had. I'm not always the best communicator. Sometimes I do okay. Sometimes things get lost in translation. Organizational skills, you know, the details. I rely on all of you when I come up with a great idea. Hey, let's do this. We need to work out the details. Diane's real good at helping me stay on track. You know, and she asks those questions that I don't think to ask. You know, so we work together to do ministry. We're part of a team, you and I. Sometimes I'll do things that'll just upset you. Guess what? Sometimes you do things that upset me. But it's okay, because we're family, and we love each other. Turn the other cheek. Forgive, forget, and move on. We've got work to do. We've got to fulfill this goal of making disciples who are going to go out and spread the gospel message in word and deed in order to transform the world for Jesus. We've got things to do. So I'll bring people in. You know, I'll get people to come to church. I invite people all the time when I go out. Invite them. Where do you go to church at? You know, come on, have to try us. Check us out, you know. Check out the one-eared, Neanderthal, bald-headed, big pastor. I'll get him here, but it's up to you to keep him here. And I hear that from a lot of our visitors. They just think you're a great bunch of people. You've really got them fooled. But they love you, and I for good reason. People love you. They like being here. When we work together as a team, we can do this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. God bless you. Chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah wants to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. He has to rebuild these walls. And so he puts together these work teams. Well, all the other enemies of Jerusalem, all these people laying out on the outside, they see them working on the walls and they begin attacking them. So they can't get the walls built. So Nehemiah says, I know, it's what I'll do. I'll form work teams to fix the walls, and I'll form work teams to protect them while they fix the walls. And he says, and I'll use families to do that. In Nehemiah 4, he says, I'm going to use families to make these teams out of, because he knows family will die for each other. And so he said, it says in verse 16, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 disciples to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Luke chapter 10, it says that he sent out the 72 two by two and gave them authority over the evil spirits. Acts chapter 4, chapter 24 in Acts, verse 23, he ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. See, in the epistles of Paul, all those letters at the end of the Bible, Paul mentions people who have assisted him in ministry. This person's gone with him, that person's gone with him, this person's done that for him, this person's done that. Paul has a team of people around him to help him. Because when people work together, that's called teamwork, absolutely. And again, our goal as the Irwin First United Methodist Church team is making disciples of Jesus Christ in order to spread the gospel message in word and deed to transform the world for Jesus. We are the body of Christ and we're family. So we love and forgive each other. We exhort and encourage one another. And the Steelers don't play like a team later today. They don't stand a chance. And it's a coach's job to get their team working together. And no one person has all the gifts. There's a wonderful story that I want to close with about Jimmy Durante. First, I need to know how many people even know who Jimmy Durante is. Okay, who doesn't know who Jimmy Durante is? Anybody? Oh. Jimmy Durante is an entertainer from a generation ago. Ha-cha-cha-cha! Yeah. Jimmy Durante, he sing, dance, comedian.
Big nose,
Jimmy Durante. And he always wore his hat. And pretty cool. He was funny, entertaining. And one day there was this fellow who was putting on a show for World War II veterans. And he wanted Jimmy Durante to be a part of the show. Well, it happened to be a bad time for Jimmy. He was really busy. And Jimmy Durante says, well, I've got an appointment that day. And he says, I got to keep it. He says, the best I can do is come on and do a real short monologue. Just give you a few minutes. And the promoter says, sure, we'll take it. He said, it'll be great. And so the day came and they were putting on the show for those World War II veterans. Jimmy Durante got up on stage. He did his short monologue. And then something interesting happened. He stayed. The crowd applauded and Jimmy Durante did some more stuff. 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And the crowd was just clapping away. And so finally he took his last bow and headed off the stage. When he got backstage, somebody stopped him and said, I thought you had an appointment today. He said, I do. He says, and now I'm running late. And they said, well, why did you stay? And Jimmy Durante says, I'll show you why. He said, look out there. Look at the first row. What do you see? And there were two World War II veterans sitting there. Each of them had lost an arm in the war. One had lost a left arm. One had lost a right arm. And together they were clapping. So, teamwork. You do some things well. You do some things well. You do some things well. And together, we can get the job done. Because it's not about us. It's about doing what the head of the body, Jesus Christ, wants us to do. Transforming this world for his glory. God loves you, and so do I.